for this evening. Thank you for bringing the teens home safe. And thank you for what we've heard today, the fellowship that we've had. Thank you for the life in the body of Christ. Pray for Pastor Donald and Eric with the multitudes of kids downstairs. God, bless them. I was with four of them today. Just, I can't imagine more of them. Just bless them. Patience. And we thank you, Lord, for letting us know who you are, Lord, revealing Christ to us and speaking to us so clearly. And bless our fellowship now in your name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, everywhere I go, I never put the mic close enough to my face. I'm just COVID conscious, you know. We had a great time, a lot of fun. We went to Turner, Maine, a little church. Actually, really nice to be in a church. Like, I haven't spoken a church building in a long time, and it was really kind of neat to think that this building was just about 200 years old, and I was sitting in the back corner, and I was just thinking, what a vision this town had, that they cared this much about God, that they got together in this rural town and built this place. They built this place that lasted, and it's, you know, like I say, getting close to 200 years, and I started to think about these pews and who sat in them. Like, who sat there? And how many of those people that sat there are in heaven today, right? So we had a lot of fun, and even though I'm still recovering from Ashley making fun of me being bald, I'm getting over that. Those of you that don't know Ashley, Ashley, stand up. She has taken over Pat's job of teasing me. So she's the new one for that. So anyway, so I have things I can say, but I thought maybe we could just hear a quick word. I want these guys just to say one thing more than anything else so you see their face. So, teens, if you want to just line up over here and just come through, and if you don't have something to say, just tell everybody who you are.
Hi, my name's Camden, and I learned this weekend that that no matter what we do, God won't leave us or forsake us.
I'm Christian, and I learned that it's really important who you hang around with and be close with God to make good decisions.
My name's Leo. I just want to talk about an event I saw. We went to the pool, and I saw that there was a special needs girl, I believe. And I noticed that that girl wanted to join in while we were playing football. And I saw that Christian actually invited that person to come and join. So I just saw that, like, how God works in us and how his love can show through a person's actions. So it's just really nice to see how young he is and how God can really show. So, yeah.
I'm Will. It was a fun moving weekend. I don't really have, like, know what to say or much to say, but it was fun. So, yeah.
My name's Tristan. I learned that it's really good to get to know people and become close to people and make connections so that if you ever are going through something, you can relate to someone that will help you fix your problem.
My name's Jaden, and I learned that being stuck in a car with people for 3 hours can help you get closer to them.
My name's Silas, and I had a great time connecting with people that I had never met before, and just knowing that we were both Christians is enough to bring us, like, closer together with people that are, like, from Malta that I probably never would have met if I hadn't gone, so I'm glad I went.
I'm Joel, and through going to Maine, I learned that through being independent,
I learned that one thing will never change, and that's that God is always going to be with us. No matter if someone's there to counsel us or not, that's kind of what I learned through this weekend, and I hope that stays that way.
I'm Cheyenne. Oh, it's loud. And I thought it was really nice when we got there. They had a bunch of food for us, and every time we walked into the room, there was more food. And I thought it was really great and welcoming that they always just welcomed us as a little church.
I'm Ashley, and I learned that having a relationship with God is really important.
I'm Olivia, and I learned that just getting closer with people that I don't know is really important, and we had a fun time.
My name is Kelly, and in the beginning of the trip, it was like awkward between all the churches, but once we get to used to our team, it got like, for instance, like me and Ashley, we got really into the games with some of the people in our team, and especially Nathaniel and Jaden. We were going at them the whole time, so yeah. And then when we were sitting down, we were like bored, and so we went and got ice cream for everybody.
You want to say anything? Beth, you want to say anything? Jess?
I want to say I've been working with the teen group for a few months now. So this is the first teen trip we've been on with our kids really since COVID, right, guys, or last year. And I am so thankful that I got to go with you guys. Like, you guys are a great group of kids. I'm so thankful that we can call you friends and that you guys would go up there and hang out with us for a weekend. We really had so much fun. The Malta group kids were awesome, right? They were, like, so fun. This church in Turner, Maine, had, what, 5 teenagers, right? And like Cheyenne said, they just kept bringing out food, and they made all these games, and they were very welcoming. In our teens, you guys should really be proud of our teens, because I am. They really are. They're amazing. They really are. So thank you for letting us go, right? What would I say? Pastor Doug preached a message this morning about digging ditches and saying no matter what happens in our life, no matter what goes on, just draw near to God, right, and stay faithful. And I feel like that's what you guys all kind of said, right, was no matter what, hang around with the right people, keep digging the ditches, keep drawing near, keep coming to teen group, keep coming to church, or just open your Bible and read it, right, if you can't make it to church. So I feel like that was this weekend. We were all able to draw near to God and draw near to each other, right? Right? So keep digging the ditches.
Okay. Scott, you want to say something?
So I think for me, just seeing how, like, the awkwardness in the beginning, but then just the body of Christ, kind of what Pastor Bailey's been preaching about lately, just the unity of it, and just when we come together like that, and just watching the kids start to, like, interact and hang out, and just pure fun, you know, it was like, they just enjoy themselves, and watching them just laugh, you know, and it was just really cool. And just getting to know some of the kids better, and even the pastors in the other church, just how much they poured out, and you see the work that goes on behind it all, and it was really amazing, like, what they did for us. So, yeah, we are blessed, you know, to be in such a church that has, like, so many other churches to connect with. So, that's all.
Okay. What do we do here? Just want me to just speak? Okay. All right. Yeah, we... What's that?
Who was the most well-behaved?
Me.
Of the whole group?
Joel.
You know, I'm going to reserve the right to vote on that. But no, actually, so this, in order for us to travel, in order for us to go, in order for us to do things, and have fun like this, what has to happen is that I have to trust these guys and they have to trust me. And they did a very good job of it. Because we travel, we mix, we go into the hotel, we're all over the place and different things. And, you know, today on our way back, we stopped two different places. And, you know, there's not enough leaders to send somebody everywhere, stay in groups. We don't violate that. And awesome. So it was very encouraging because now... we know our next step is to go to down to Pennsylvania. But then after that, maybe we can with this world reopening. We've been with the teen group in years before. We've been to Poland. We've been to Puerto Rico. We've been all over South America. We've been to Africa. So who knows what God will say next. But this is a great step because I trust these guys. They're trustworthy. They do what I ask. And I don't have so many rules. But the rules we have are serious, you know. And one of them is that we, the other people are more important than you. And if you follow that rule, then it doesn't change. So I was very proud of these guys. They did a great job of ministering and really building up this church. Pastor Glenn, who is the pastor, has stepped in. He's a guy who's retired. He flew Black Hawk helicopters in the military, was in many conflicts, came home from that, and he flew the Life Flight helicopter in Baltimore, Maryland for many years. But he's been in the ministry, went to Stevens School for the Bible way back. And this little church that was kind of slowly dwindling down like so many today, they asked him to come be the pastor. And so he said to them, I am a finished work preacher, and my blood is greater grace because this is all I've ever known. And they said, well, he said, we don't take churches, we don't want churches, but that you want me to preach, that's who I am, and that's who we're going to be. And they just embraced it, and it's incredible. As we walked in, there's a face sitting at one of the tables, and this lady, that Beth and I, when we first started the teen group 311 years ago, named Sue Farrington, and they were in South Berwick, and we used to go and stay with them and bring two or three kids and go and spend weekends with the South Berwick teens. And life has had many things happen to her. She had a stroke and was partially crippled, but been able to fight through that and many things there. And it was just such a joy to see her, that here we are 30-something years, 35 years later, she's still walking with God and one of the founding families in this little church. So God is good, and he is amazing in what he does and how he knits things together. What we really saw this weekend was Pastor Scott, amazing servant of God. He's a youth leader and assistant pastor in Malta, New York, a great guy. He brought a van full as well down, and he started this morning, or yesterday morning, excuse me. We didn't really have morning. One thing that I hadn't encountered yet, that I hadn't realized, I'm catching up on technology. I didn't realize these guys could order pizza at 3 o'clock in the morning. So you can have some very upset Uber drivers bringing food that people weren't there. Whatever, that was just another one of our fun times. So, but yeah, there was a pool at this place, and they had no idea that there would be all of us and all of Malta arriving at this pool at 10 o'clock at night with enough energy to take over the world. And these poor people that came for a weekend with their family. But, you know, it was awesome because these guys, they administered to the people. And, of course, we're throwing the football, and we almost killed a couple people. And then we tuned it down and involved them, and that made it a little better. But they were very kind, especially this family that had this special need kid, and it really involved them, and that was great. And invited them all to church and had a great time with them. They were Dominicans, the families. And so they knew where the church is. We hope that they will find their way there. So we spoke this morning we started off on Saturday morning with Esther, and Pastor Scott spoke about such a time as this. And then he told us we're not going to, the days of our youth, we're not going to be put down. We're not going to shut up and put up. We're here because we're called to be here, and the age doesn't matter. And we can change the world, right? And you can make such a difference. Starting, doesn't matter, you're 13, 14 years old. You trust God, God can do amazing things, right? And then, Saturday night, we spoke about being in the presence of God. What does it mean to be in the presence of God? What is it to seek the presence of God? David went after God. David in Psalm 27, we started that with the men on Tuesday night, but the theme stayed with us that, you know what? David said, I'm going to go after God. I'm going to seek his presence. I want to put myself in that place. And then what happened from that is a benefit that comes is when I operate in the presence of God, I become confident, right? And I become confident in God, and when I'm confident in God in that presence, I make amazing decisions. Then this morning, where maybe we'll spend the next few minutes here, is in 2 Kings 3. And there's a story there. The three kings that we have, and my brain is going to ruin their Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah, and he was doing what was good in the sight of the Lord. The king of Israel had done a few things, taken down a few sets of idols, but really was a backslidden believer running Israel. And then there was the king of Edom, who was not interested in the things of God at all. Well, Moab got into a disagreement with the king of Israel, actually stopped paying tribute. And so the king of Israel came to the king of Judah and the king of Edom and said, guys, I need help because they're stronger than I am and we are brothers. And they said, yeah, we are brothers. The first mistake that was made was that Jehoshaphat said, let me yoke up with these unbelieving kings, right? So he put himself in a pretty bad position because here he is. Like so many times in our life, we make a decision, we look at things and we say, I want to do this or I want to do that or I want to go over here or I want to go over there. I'd like to do that. And then we say, God, will you come with me and bless it? Right? Will you come with me and bless it? My friend needs this. Help me bless this. Help me do this. And what do we forget to do? Right? Am I a servant of the Most High, or is he my servant, right? And as a servant of the Most High, what do? I say, Lord, where would you have me go? What would you have me do? But we all make these mistakes, and so they traveled, and I'm butchering the story, but we'll get the main parts in. And they traveled through the desert to kind of come around the back of Moab to attack. And they got quite a ways out there and realized something. They didn't have enough water. So they have horses and men and equipment and all this sort of stuff, and now they're going to perish. So it's interesting what happens to us when we reach that point, right? We say, where's God? Where's God? Well, you know where God is? He's where you left him, right? He never leaves you, but he's where you left him, waiting for you. So he says, can we have we need to hear from God. And Elijah comes. And I love Elijah. He comes and he's like, why do you want to hear from me? What's wrong with the way you've been going? What's wrong with the decisions you've been making? What's wrong with the prophets that you've been hearing from? Why do you want to talk to me? Right? And he says, only because Jehoshaphat is here, I will go to God for you. And he comes back with this crazy request, right? Said, okay, you're tired, you're beat up, you're not going to make it, you're worn out, go dig ditches. Right? Dig ditches. But they're thinking, you know, doesn't he understand this is the dry season? It doesn't rain now. We dig ditches, they're not going to do us any good. There's no rain that comes. Now, maybe God will cause rain to come. But they get everything dug, they get everything set, they come back. The next morning they get up, and it says, as they went to the meat offering, right? The meat offering is an offering that is a dedication of your life to the Lord. I think it's Leviticus 3 through 5, chapter 3 through 5, talks about all the offerings and what they are there. And but this is an offering which is like Romans 12:1, that I present my body a sacrifice to the Lord, right? And as soon as that's done, what happens is they look and the ditches are full of water, right? The ditches are full of water. It's a miracle. It didn't rain, no wind came, nothing came. Now it's full. And the application that we went through to this morning was that, you know what? Are we digging ditches in our lives? Are we taking and preparing in our lives right now? Are we doing that? Are we hiding the Word of God in our soul? Are we putting it into our mind? Are we thinking with Christ so that, you know what, when the times of dryness come, we have those ditches that God can fill with a miracle water and give us these provisions in times? So many times we don't turn to God like much like these men until such a time as the need is greater than we can handle. But in these times, what are we doing with our time? And it came to my mind, those of you that remember Jordan, Korea, and Jordan was a young man, and he traveled with us a little bit on and off and back, and then he went off to college, and he just ran into trouble, and he came home, and he gave this testimony one night, and he said, when I was young, when I was in youth group, when I was in the church, when I was available for classes, when all those things were available, everything was available to me, I didn't hide it in my heart, and I didn't take advantage of it. And then when I went into the world, left mom and dad and walked into the world, the darkness almost killed me because I wasn't prepared. What was available, given to me to do, I didn't take seriously. And he said to us there, he said to all of us, don't miss the opportunity. He says, now I'm actively making up time to get myself to understand the provision of God that is there. And I always thought, what an amazing testimony that was, that he had realized that. And please, God, do not let us miss these opportunities. Do not let us miss the times that are now. Do not let us come to a place where we are familiar with you, Lord, and we walk and miss hiding these things. We miss digging those ditches, right? Because digging a ditch takes a form of humility, right? For me to go out and dig a ditch, for me to put my time in to be in a place, takes humility. But you know what? That humility opens the door to Christ, and it opens the door for him to flood into us with a supernatural provision when the time is needed. When does it always come? When the time is needed, right? When do I want it? Now. When does it come? When the time is right. And this is our God. He never forsakes us. He never leaves us. He cares more for me than I do for myself. Yet, how many times do I test that? And I kind of apologize if I'm maybe not running in order here, but I don't know if my mind has made it back yet. That is the only negative thing of some age. Sleep is more important. But here's the second thing that came from this that God really spoke to us. In Matthew 10:14, it says, when you go to a place, when you go to a town, you go to a village, you go to a home, and they don't take you in, and they mock you, or they're not interested in the things of God, it says on your way out of there, kick off the dust. right? You ever think of that? Kick off the dust. And I was thinking about that last night as I was wondering when the next pizza delivery was coming. And really what we don't want to do is we do not want to allow the negativity of the lore of the world to cling on to us, right? And it was interesting because, you know, if you've ever been on those sites, been on a construction site or been in an area with a clay and you're walking and that clay that just sticks to your legs, sticks to your feet, and if you don't break it off at the end of the day, your feet weigh double what they did when it started and it wears you out. Don't let that stuff stick to you, right? Here's the thing is, if somebody doesn't respond and we say, why doesn't that person respond? And I've been praying for that person to respond. I think what we should really be thinking about, and I said this morning, and I understand a lot of what I'm saying is duplicate to these young guys, but what's the real miracle? The real miracle is, why are we in this room tonight? Why am I in this room tonight? Why do I care? Why do you care what God thinks? That's the miracle. It's not that why doesn't this person respond. It's why, what did he see in me to allow me to respond? Right? That's incredible. Right? As we were at the pool last night and I was talking to this young guy and his a young girl and her boyfriend and their mom and dad. Not their mom and dad, two mothers, two different families came over and they were like, we need the Word of God, right? We're in Lewiston, Maine, and we haven't found a place that'll feed us. We hadn't even found a place. And it's like the last thing in the world you look at. I looked at this person and she's got, you know, one of those things on her lip and every kind of mark on her body. And I had an expectation when I approached her that I was going to, certain reception would be there. And it was a little girl. It was a little girl. Hiding behind something. She could change her hair color and put through things for her face, but it was a little girl that God had a heart for. And a mother who's by herself, another mother by herself in this world, everywhere, right? So many places. We have so much room. There's so much work that the Lord wants to have done. You know, so much we can be a part of. Or do we live in the negativity of look at where we are now? Look at this is. Look what goes on. Look at the suffering. No, we're looking to the Lord. We're looking to the Lord. We're looking to what he's done. And we're preparing ourselves. And our ditches are going to be provisions for us as well as others. Because we're going to have the Word of God because we've hid it in our heart. And the last thing I was going to say is that went back to Daniel 3 and how God brings these three Hebrew boys into an unbelievable temptational place. And we all are, I don't want to use that word familiar, we all know the story, right? We all know the story of there they are. But this is the thought that really resonated with me. Why didn't they, when the king said, if you don't bow down, you're dead. Right? You're in the fiery furnace. When the trumpet sounds, if you don't bow down to the golden image, you will be killed. Of course, they didn't do it. Why weren't they killed? Because I think Satan knows unequivocally that God will never leave us. He knows that. So his only hope is to get us to try and leave God. So we're going to hear this again. Make it hotter. Make it more difficult. Make it nastier. And it was funny because as I thought of that, you know what? Isn't that the stupidest thing in the world? The hotter you make the furnace, the quicker you die, right? So it wasn't really even a smart thing for them to do. But here's the thing. Did you not hear? Satan says, this is my world. I own this world. You will act this way. You will act this way, and you will accept this way. We're having lunch this afternoon on the way home in near L.L. Bean. And in comes this lady, sits down the lady, and in comes this boy wearing girl's clothes. My old self would say, what the heck is wrong with this person? But you know, I said, another person robbed by the enemy. And another set of people robbed by the enemy saying, it's okay. Poor kid, he's mixed up, right? God loves him more than he loves himself. And that's what really matters. Not my opinion, but the truth. What is the truth? He's being robbed of the truth. They're being robbed of the truth. They're moving from there. And God is saying, I am never going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. Why are you going to walk away from me? Right? And Satan is there saying, you need to walk away. You're different. You're there. You don't fit in. This doesn't work. You're not part of the new world. You're not part of the new age. Whatever that thing is, you are the problem. Excuse me, there's a boy wearing girl's clothes. No, you are the problem. You don't understand. We're going to make the furnace hotter. You need to bow down to the God of this world. And these boys say no. Right? They say no. And then what happens? What happens? They are in a fire and they're not burnt. But what is the real thing that happens from there? The kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar, probably the most powerful force on earth at that time, controlling incredible, recognizes the God of Meshach, Abednego, and whatever the other name, right? Shadrach. Right? I make up my own names. But you know what? Here's these three boys, and the most powerful king says, we're going to recognize their God. What happens when we stand with God? What happens when we make a stand? What happens when Esther said, I'm going in? I may be young, but I'm going in. Right? It was interesting. Pastor Scott read this thing, and he said that Esther may have been 14 or 15 years old. You think about that. And to go in front of the king and stand. God is not done. God has just started. We can be with him and have excitement. Or we can live in the fear of the fire. It's okay if we live in the fear of the fire. But he's saying, you know what? I invite you to the victory. I invite you to the victory, to be with me in the victory. And we can have that. And we can see it. Sometimes we see it one person at a time. Sometimes we see it in one step at a time. But we get to be a part of the victory. We get to be a part of life. We get to see God move. I said, probably one of the greatest times. Not make sense to most people. But I had this young lady come to me. And she was in tremendous tears. Like serious. And I said, what's wrong? And she said, well, I've been coming here for quite some time, and I have done everything that I can. I have thought of everything I can possibly think of. I have used every verse that you have ever said. I have done everything I can to convince my mom to accept Christ, and she wants no part of it. And she wants no part of it. And she was sobbing. And I thought, yeah, that's terrible. But I thought, isn't it amazing that this young lady is so convinced of the power of God, of the purpose of God, and the plan of God in her life, and she is so assured of heaven that her major concern is life, is the person that means the most to her, is her mother, and how can I guarantee mom? How can I get mom? You think about that victory. I guarantee you that God will reach that mom. Maybe now. Maybe 10 years, but I know he will, right? The power of God is incredible. But it's around us. Do we see it or do we miss it? Because we're so busy. So much to happen that we don't notice the movement of God. These guys are a lot of fun to be with, right? A lot of fun to be with. They like to tease me. I tease them. We have a lot of laughs. We take over pool rooms. We go to restaurants and immediately have seating for all we need. We just need to go into a place that can be full and we'll empty it so quickly. But you know what? Everybody watches. Everybody says something. Until I spoke to those kids last night, nobody mentioned the Word of God. And she said, I knew you had to be a church. I knew you had to be. Right? Isn't that what we want? Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Doug. Thank you. Really, thank you, you and Beth.